In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday to you. November 12th, year of our Lord, 2022. This is the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN Radio. Happy to talk to you guys about high school football for the next 2 hours. I am your host, Paul Metters, here at First String Sports. Definitely the place to be. I'm in the Letterman's Jacket Room, and I do a couple Facebook Lives here. There's one Facebook Live that happens on my account and then the 1430 ESPN account. So that was really cool because you can see the visual of the Letterman's Jacket Room where I do my show. There's actually a couple people here that are trying on their Letterman's Jacket early in the morning. Come on down here. Check it out at First String Sports. We are definitely happy to have them as our number one sponsor. All right, for the next 2 hours, we'll be breaking down high school football. Semifinals are set. Games were on Thursday. There's one game that happened last night. Hanford beat Bakersfield Christian 51-28 in Division II, but all the other games were Thursday night, and we had some really, really good matchups. Coming up after the break, well, first of all, I'm going to go over the scores from Thursday night. A little bit of a breakdown with that, and then after the break, Gabe Camarillo is producing the show from Home Field Advantage. We're going to be talking about the games a little more in depth. At 10:32, we're going to be talking to San Joaquin Memorial head coach Anthony Gostin. He's going to be bringing in one of his players. Now, there's going to be a lot of talk. There's been a lot of talk about Brandon Ramirez and the incredible game that he had for the Panthers in their 28-21 win over Central that we were able to broadcast on 1430 ESPN. Just an amazing game. When I get to that score, I'm going to tell you a little bit about that game. So Anthony Gostin, San Joaquin Memorial head coach, coming on at around 10:32 or so. At the top of the hour, around 11:06 or so, Gabe and I are going to be previewing all the semifinal matchups. Mainly Division I and Division II, and I have some questions like, how is this team going to stop this team? Or this team is really, really hot, right? Can they keep it up? We're going to be talking a little more in depth about the semifinal games with Gabe Camarillo a little after 11 o'clock. And then at 11:30 or so, Carruthers head coach Brandon Ward. Now, those Blue Raiders are hot. They won their first two playoffs in Division IV. But they didn't beat the traditional, what you think of Division IV type team. So they beat Madera in round one, a CMAC team. And they played another CMAC team, Justin Garza. And, Justin Garza was the sixth seed. They beat Fowler in the opening round game that we broadcasted as well. So their two wins in the playoffs are against CMAC teams. Now, I know there's a lot of talk about Justin Garza, and they don't have a senior class this year. Are they really a CMAC team? Well, they played in the CMAC, so they played against a lot of really tough teams. So Carruthers advancing. They're going to be playing Kalinga in the semifinals with a really good shot at Division IV. Is anyone's internal clock screwed up a little bit? Again, the games were Thursday night. And then last night, Fresno State was on a Friday night. They beat UNLV 37-30. Definitely I was up for that. That game went way past 11 o'clock. And I fully expected to wake up this morning ready to watch some NFL games like it's Saturday. I'm a teacher, so I had Friday off. So that's one of the reasons why it felt like it just felt like a different day. My internal clock is screwed up. So I have the rest of the weekend, man. I got a little more college football today, NFL tomorrow. So it was just a little strange to have the high school games on Thursday night. But, again, a lot of fun. And I definitely have to give a shout-out. So the reason why our Central Valley games were on Thursday was mainly because of the national holiday and Veterans Day. And I need to give a shout-out to all of our armed forces and those who have served. It's a very important holiday, and I'm sure that there are a lot of veterans out there who appreciate, being recognized, and the parade was yesterday as well. So a shout out to all the veterans out there. We appreciate you, salute you, we love you. My father, who passed away in April this year, was a Vietnam veteran. He was very proud of being a Vietnam veteran. He did a lot of community work with the Clovis Vietnam Veterans Society and printed their newsletter and laid, you know, the foundation for that and won a few awards. So, you know, all the veterans out there, you deserved yesterday. I hope you were able to reflect and relax, and I hope you really felt honored in that day. So I'm going to go over a few scores right now. Actually, all the scores. Again, now we are down to our semifinals, top four in each bracket. And in Division One, there was only, there were only the four games, and they pretty much all went as planned, as seeded. So, San Joaquin Memorial beat Central 28-21. That was a 4-5. San Joaquin Memorial was home. And Brandon Ramirez had one of the most incredible games I've seen in a high-level playoff game. We know the history between those two teams. Central, you know, went to five straight Central Division I championship games, winning three. Well, for the first time in, I guess we could say, 6 years, they are not going to the Division I title game because Brandon Ramirez rushed for three touchdowns, 349 yards on 30 carries. The crazy part is, in that game, they only threw the ball one time. The Panthers threw the ball one time. It was a completion, a 38-yard completion. Brandon Ramirez, out of 44 plays, ran the ball 30 times for almost 350 yards and intercepted the ball to seal the game with under a minute to play. Incredible game. So San Joaquin Memorial advances. And who are they going to play? Well, they're going to be playing number one, Clovis West, who beat Clovis 24-21. That was a pretty tight game. Clovis West went up 24-14. Clovis scored a touchdown late in the game, wasn't able to recover the onside kick. So Clovis West advances against San Joaquin Memorial. We'll be breaking that game down with Gabe Camarillo as well, but because that's going to be a whopper of a game. In the other bracket, the other bottom part of the bracket, number two Buchanan against number seven Clovis North. A lot of people thought the Clovis North had a really good shot in this game. Why? Well, because they came in very, very hot, right? Their running attack has been on point, but Buchanan was just way too much in that one. They beat the Broncos 37-24 and will face Liberty of Bakersfield, who destroyed St. Joseph from Santa Maria at home. 49-13 was the score. 49-13. I saw some highlights on Max Preps. And it, oh, man, I mean, talk about athletes from Liberty Bakersfield. They had them all over the field, and they destroyed St. Joseph. So that is going to be a grudge match. Why? Well, because we remember that Lightning game in Bakersfield. Buchanan went down to Bakersfield and beat them on paper, beat them by a touchdown. The game was called with around 11 minutes left in the fourth quarter due to lightning. There was lightning in, I think the rule is, if you see lightning, the referees can call, I think, a 45 minute delay. And if there's another lightning storm in that time, that they can call the game, and they did. And that game would have gone probably till midnight if they would have continued it. So you don't think that's on Liberty's mind? Absolutely. And we figured that they would face each other in the playoffs again, and sure enough, they are. So that was Division One. Division Two, there was one upset. Frontier beat Kingsburg 38-35. Oh, tough, tough loss for Kingsbury. They were the 2 seed. Frontier was the 7 seed. They had a lead late in the fourth quarter, gave up a touchdown, had to punt. Frontier drove and kicked a late field goal in that one. The number 1 seeded, Central Valley Christian, played Sanger. We figured this game would be really tough. They held on and shut out the Apaches 20-0. And who are they going to face? They're going to face Hanford, who played last night. They beat Bakersfield Christian 58-21. Points aplenty in that one. And then they're the hottest team in the Central Section playoffs right now. We're talking about Lemoore. Lemoore beat Washington Union 64-8. 64-8. And that was through three quarters. That is a lot of points. So Lemoore and Frontier, Central Valley Christian and Hanford in the semifinals of Division Two. In Division Three, Independence beat Mission Oak 27-24. Let me click on the brackets here. If you want to look at the brackets, They do a good, really good job on the Central Section, CIFCentralSection.org website. Go there, go to playoffs, and then click on football, and then click on divisions. They have the brackets there. They got the nice Central Section logo. They have the scores there. So go there and check out and see all the brackets. So Mission Prep beat Aurora Grande 35-14. That was a 1-9. Mission Prep advances, and they will play Kennedy, who defeated Kerman 33-7. And a game that wasn't too difficult to predict. We figured that it would be a fairly high-scoring game, but Sunnyside, the 11th seed, went to Tehachapi in that cold, cold weather and beat them 33-29, and they advance to play Independence. If there's one surprise team in the semifinals, it's got to be Independence, right, from Bakersfield. They are the 15th seed. They upset number 2 Porterville in the first round and then beat Mission Oak 27-24. So it's going to be Sunnyside, 11th seed, and Independence, the 15th. So Sunnyside's going to get a home game in the semifinals as an 11th seed. Division 4 upset. Number 1 goes down. Liberty Madera. Oh, tough one to Shafter. Liberty Madera had a lead. And Shafter came back in the fourth quarter to upset Madera and, ruin their undefeated season. Coach Mike Nolte has been on the show, great guy. So, Madera, that's an unfortunate loss. Congrats to Shafter for winning that one. North of Bakersfield lost to Matilda Torres. So it's going to be Shafter, Matilda Torres. That game was 28-14. And Carruthers are going to be hearing more from Brandon Ward about that game. They beat Justin Garza 45-13. They got a dude. They got a running back. Hunter Babb, this kid is running crazy. We talk about Brandon Ramirez type stats. Well, this kid's got him. I don't want to spoil too much, but let's just say he scored 5 touchdowns in that game against Justin Garza. And they're going to face Kalinga, the 7th seed, who beat the 2 seed, Taft, 26-18. So we got a 3 seed Carruthers against number 7, Kalinga. That is in Division 4. In Division 5, Bishop Union, the 1 seed. 1 seed goes down again. Pioneer Valley beat them 9-7. 9-7. So they advance to the semifinals. They're going to be playing Templeton, the 4 seed, who beat Corcoran 21-17. Dos Palos, Broncos advance 28-27. Great game against Morro Bay. They're going to be playing the number 2 seed, Atascadero, who beat Madera South 39-8. In Division 6, Hanford West, the 1 seed, barely holds on to beat Kern Valley 13-12. They're going to be facing Avenal, who beat Arvin 24-14. Mendota beat Woodlake in a really good game we were following on Twitter on Thursday night, 28-21. That was a back-and-forth game. And the 2 seed, Emmanuel, goes down to Riverdale, who is the 10 seed, 21-12. So Division 6, Hanford West, Avenal, Mendota, Riverdale. All right, a little bit of a breakdown of those games. We're going to be talking about them more in depth with Gabe Camarillo coming up after the break on 1430 ESPN.
The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome back. I wish I found some better sounds. No Central Valley Sports heard. Report, 1430 ESPN. Happy that you found us. You could listen, obviously, on the radio. If you're listening on the radio driving around, it's a beautiful day today. Going to be super, super cold this week. How does that affect football playoffs? Well, it can a little bit. Coaches don't like to make excuses, but the semifinals and then the finals the day after Thanksgiving are going to be super, super cold. But we're very, very thankful that you guys tune in to 1430. We're all about the student athletes. We're all about getting their names out there, reporting scores, getting to know the coaches, the athletic directors as well. It's all about the kids, man. It's high school football. When you get to the next level, when you get to college football, it becomes more of a business. And then obviously the next level after that, the professional sports, it's all business, right? But high school sports, there's always something special that's going on, especially in the Central Valley. We talk about it a lot on this show, just how special the Central Valley is. You think about players like Josh Allen come from Tiny Fireball. We hope that his elbow's okay. He's questionable for the game tomorrow. We think about Adrian Martinez for Kansas State that's doing great things. About Kendall Milton, University of Georgia. Xavier Worthy, who had a good game for Texas. Think about those guys. And, Cole Anderson, who had some three-pointers last night against Fresno State for UC Santa Barbara in their win. So just lots of great stories, and we love getting to know the student-athletes and following them above and beyond high school sports. Talking with Gabe Camarillo right now. Broke down the games a little bit, but not enough. because we're going to dive a little bit deeper. We've got about 10 or 12 minutes here to talk about some of these scores. So, Gabe, what were some of the games that you were able to check out on your own? I think you were at at least the second half of the San Joaquin Memorial and Central game that we were able to cover. But what were some of the other games that you were at?
Yeah, I was also at Buchanan versus Clovis North. That game moved by so quickly. We got there at ABC 30 at the second quarter because of how quickly that game was going. But I did see some of the Big Bear scores, and Buchanan obviously winning that one 37-24.
And I think they scored on a double pass for Colton O'Toole, and then Colton O'Toole threw a touchdown and a little bit of dose of Michael Runnels and Jaden Mandel, right?
Yes, and I think that's what impressed me about Buchanan. This team, I know they've had their shortcomings, right? They lost to Clovis North, and they've obviously had some tough defeats to Clovis West. But I think besides those losses, this is probably, of the four teams in Division One, the most complete team, and they have the best quarterback. Let's be honest, right? Jaden Mandel's the best quarterback remaining in Division One. Opposing coaches tell me that what makes Mandel so dangerous is his running ability along with his passing ability. If you combine that together, he has a lot of poise, a lot of moxie. I think he is the X factor going forward in these playoffs, because anytime you have a Division One quarterback, you can beat just about anyone, not just in the Central Valley, but in the state.
And I think the Division One games went as advertised. So we talk about Liberty, and the highlights that I saw, they just dominated St. Joe's, and I wasn't too surprised by that score. But the Liberty's just too much.
Yeah, and that's what's going to make this upcoming Friday so exciting. Buchanan versus Liberty. You can say part four, because this is the fourth straight playoffs they meet in the semifinals. But there's obviously that big regular season matchup that everyone's thinking about. I'll say this. Jaden Mandel tested that Liberty defense to a point that I don't think they've been tested before. I can't get out of my mind the images of Jaden Mandel flicking 50-yard touchdown passes over the heads of the Patriots. Will it be that easy? Probably not. Liberty got better from that game. Obviously, when you play week 3, you're going to get better in week 12, but so did Buchanan. So expect two teams to be playing at a very high level. Buchanan obviously having the better quarterback, but Liberty having the swagger, the confidence of being the Division I champion, and also that defense isn't too bad either. They kept St. Joseph and their high-octane attack to just 13 points.
And I need to go back a little bit. Max Preps had a few stats on the Buchanan and Clovis North game. We talked about how hot Clovis North came in with their rushing attack. But the Buchanan defense, they held Clovis North to 74 yards, according to Max Preps. 74 yards on 35 carries.
Yeah, that's
so
why
that is about, what, about two yards a carry.
That's why I called them the most complete team, because they're not just an offensive team, right? They have the offensive weapons like Colton O'Toole, Michael Runnels, McKay Jones caught that double pass. And there's more guys that I'm not mentioning. But defensively, they're starting to get in a rhythm. I think that loss to Clovis North was the kick in the butt that this defense needed to get right on the ship. And Logan Stute, I heard he was injured coming into that game. I believe he played every single snap on defense. He's a gamer. And he's going to be a difference maker against Liberty, because you know that Buchanan defense, they just stopped a really good Broncos rushing attack. They have to do it again against Liberty.
San Joaquin Memorial Central, we're going to be talking with Coach Ghostin after the break about that game. But, man, Brandon Ramirez, we mentioned on the broadcast, it's like you knew what they were going to do. There was no secret. And Memorial did a good job of disguising the run plays a little bit in the second half, a couple different formations. But it was Brandon Ramirez left, Brandon Ramirez right, and they couldn't stop the kid. 30 carries for almost 350 yards, only one pass attempt the whole game. I mean, I don't know. I don't think I've seen anything like that in a high-level football game.
I don't think the game plan was trying to take what Clovis North and Buchanan did. I think the game plan for Coach Ghostin, and you can ask him this in about 10 minutes, but I think it was looking at what they did successfully in the first game against Central. In that first game against Central, Brandon Ramirez had a big game. Was it 300 rushing yards? No, but he still made a game-sealing defensive pass breakup. And Ramirez's footprints were all over the first game, so it made sense for Coach Ghostin to go back to what works. Hey, if the run game isn't broke, don't fix it. You can easily give Brandon Ramirez 30 carries. He is able to handle that workload. Now, will they do that against Clovis West? I think it'll be a different game plan. We might see Carson Dean pass for more than just one attempt, but I think because Central couldn't stop the run, why would you try doing something else? Brando is a Division I college football player. When you have one of those, you better use him.
He definitely looks the part. Talking with Gabe Camarillo, host of Home Field Advantage, Monday through Thursday, 3 to 5. All right, Clovis West, speaking of them, against Clovis, they played them a few weeks ago in their rivalry game. Clovis scores the first TD. Clovis West ties it. Then Clovis goes ahead. And then, but Clovis West, you know, finding ways to win the football game at a 99-yard touchdown pass from Tyler Patrick to Marshall Sanders. Clovis scored late, didn't get the onside kick. But, yeah, those Golden Eagles, they find ways to win, and now they're going to be facing a really tough Memorial team. But, yeah, Clovis West, you know, with Tyler Patrick under center. Well, they run shotgun, so I guess I can't say that. But with Tyler Patrick at quarterback, they didn't miss a beat.
Yes, I think that's true, and I think – I don't know if there's another pass out there that I haven't seen, but the most impressive pass of this quarterfinal round was Tyler Patrick's 99-yard score to Marshall Sanders, because the Cougars sent the blitz. They wanted the safety, and they almost got it. I mean, there was three or four Clovis defenders in Tyler Patrick's face, but he still gets the pass off to Marshall Sanders. Marshall makes a move to get separation from a Clovis defender. It was not offensive PI. A lot of people are saying that it wasn't. But Marshall Sanders makes the move he needs to go 99 yards to the house for the score. I think Tyler Patrick's throw on that was on the money. Now, with Ryan Markarian eligible again because that one game sit-out period is over, I don't know who's going to be the quarterback for Clovis West. It could go back to Markarian. It could go back to Patrick. I haven't asked Coach Brown that question yet. But I do think that whoever is not under center, but in shotgun formation at quarterback, whoever is there will give the Golden Eagles the best opportunity to win. I think both quarterbacks have their strengths. Both quarterbacks are familiar with this offense. So it doesn't really matter who starts at quarterback for the Golden Eagles. All they have to do is get the ball to the skill players and rely on that defense, because a lot of attention is made about Liberty's defense and Buchanan's defense and Memorial's defense. I like Clovis West up with all three of them.
Yeah, we're going to be breaking down that game a little bit more around 11 o'clock. But, yeah, that's going to be a really fun game. And with Clovis West, you know, it's going to be a good problem to have, so to speak, right? It's going to be something that we're going to be speculating and talking about all week. All right, Division II. I mentioned that upset from Frontier to Kingsbury. What had me worried in that game is that that Frontier is a good, very, very good football team. They've been battle-tested. You know, they have some really good wins on their schedule. I think, you know, looking back, the human element – would have played a part in that, because you look at what Lemoore did to Washington Union. Washington Union was the sixth seed, and Kingsbury dominated Washington Union when they played each other. So I think that was a bad draw for Kingsbury playing against that number seven Frontier team. They had a pick six, Kingsbury did, with 5 minutes left, and then Frontier scored the last 10 points, including a field goal to win that game. But, yeah, Frontier, but they're going to be facing, man, a hot Lemoore team. Look at these guys, 64-8 in three quarters. They scored six rushing TDs, two passing TDs from Ty Chambers. Is there a hotter team right now than Lemoore?
No, definitely not. I mean, CVC's up there too, and I think those two teams could conceivably meet each other in the D2 section final. Obviously, they have their own semifinal games to win, but I would say CVC and Lemoore probably up there with hottest teams in the Valley. You could throw a couple other teams in there, maybe a Kennedy, because Kennedy's red hot right now. But I do think that the way that Lemoore's playing, I'm not surprised. That RPO offense, if you have the right guy at quarterback, you're going to be unstoppable. You're not going to be able to find any weakness in that offense when it's at its highest potential. Ty Chambers, a senior quarterback, I have him as the Valley's most accurate passer. I think there's no secret that he is the secret to this success. You also got to give credit to his receivers like Damel Turner and Preston Scott. Those guys are also important. The running game is important. Everyone on the Lemoore Tigers is doing their job, and that's why they're winning these ball games 64-8. I'm really excited to see how they do against Frontier, but it seems like we're on a collision course with the two hottest teams in the Valley meeting in the D2 section final, and that would be CVC and Lemoore.
You and I have had a lot of fun the last week or two, and when I go on your show, we've talked about our Central Valley Heisman candidates. I think we might have to start considering Ty Chambers a little bit more. He's having a phenomenal year for the Lemoore Tigers. So Hanford, talk about CVC and beating Sanger, but they're going to be facing Hanford, and Hanford, they're back to scoring tons of points. They beat Bakersfield Christian 51-28, and a collision course with Central Valley Christian seemed inevitable. They had a little bit of a tough time as following that game, talking about CVC and Sanger. We knew that'd be a tough game. I predicted that they would you know, trade some punches in the first quarter, and Central Valley Christian scored a touchdown in each quarter, the second, third, and fourth. I believe they missed an extra point. Bryson Donaldson had 176 rushing yards. He was basically the focal point of the offense. I think they only threw the ball 11 times in that game. But Central Valley Christian, congrats to them. They're going to be facing Hanford. Hanford's hot as well, 51 more points against a good Bakersfield Christian team.
I think what slowed CBC down in that game was the fact that Sanger runs the wing T, and that takes up a lot of clock. So the only reason why CBC might have scored 20 points was because they had limited possessions. You also got to tip your hat to the Apaches defense because they were able to keep CBC out of the end zone for the most part, except for a couple of Donaldson scores. I think with Hanford playing more up-tempo, it being a no-huddle spread attack that Coach Cannon Sanchez runs, this one's going to be more high scoring, and CBC, they have those D1 college players, Jaden Moore and Bryson Donaldson. What can Hanford present to counter that? I know I already wrote CBC into the D2 title game, but I admit that Hanford is the biggest test they would have faced all season. I mean, even bigger than Clovis North, because Clovis North does not run two plays, three plays in a minute like Hanford does. Hanford is breakneck speed offense. CBC hasn't faced that quite yet.
No, you're right. And those two coaches are, first of all, they're friends of the show. Coach Mason Hughes of Central Valley Christian, Cannon Sanchez of Hanford. And they're well aware of the strengths and weaknesses, if there are many, of each team. So that's going to be a really good matchup. You're going to be breaking those games down and more at 11 o'clock, including the Division I games. What to look for, a couple burning questions on each game. So thanks, Gabe. Appreciate you. And we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Paul.
All right, coming up after the break, we're waiting on Coach Anthony Ghostin from San Joaquin Memorial. Hope he's close here to First String Sports and then bringing in one of his players to talk about. So coming up after the break, hopefully Coach Ghostin will be here. And if not, we'll be talking more about high school football. Anyway, and oh, my gosh, here he is just right on time. A little bit of a break here, and we'll have him coming up on 1430 ESPN.
The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome back. Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN here at First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon. All right. We had a lot of fun breaking down games. We're going to be breaking down games even more the rest of the day. But it's always good to hear from coaches who are still in the playoffs. We got Anthony Ghostin, head coach of San Joaquin Memorial. You guys are 9-2 on the season. Just beat Central 28-21 to advance to play Clovis West on a Friday, Division I semifinals. Jaden Enriquez was able to come in as well to be with Coach Ghostin, talking with both these guys. He'll be our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week. All right, Coach Ghostin, first of all, thanks for taking the time. I know you've already been at school. Come here, take a little bit of a break and get back there, but thanks for coming in.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Jaden, thanks for coming in, too. Really appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Were you working out this morning? Were you lifting weights,
yeah,
or what were you doing?
Exactly what we were doing. All right. Stretching as well.
And stretching. All right. So, first of all, Coach Ghostin, let's go back a little bit. August 27th is when you played Central, and you beat them 23-21 at their place. You know, and you're matched up with Central again. You figured you probably would be in the playoffs. You know, that's pretty early in the season, right? That was a great win for you guys. But personnel changes sometimes. Teams get healthier. Teams lose players. Philosophies sometimes change throughout the season. You know, coming into that game, you know, was the game plan different going into that game back in August? Was the game plan, you know, the same? Or what did that look like?
Yeah, you know, in week two, we're just still trying to figure out our team, you know. Who fits where, who plays where, you know, trying to figure out your identity. And so we were a much different team now than we were in week two.
Yeah.
And obviously, we had three or four different offensive linemen now compared to week two. We kind of – and obviously through our scouting process, we kind of realized what our strength was and where we thought Central was weak. And so that's what kind of shaped our game plan for the playoff game. We were going to do things differently that helped us win the game, and that's what happened.
And when you're talking about playoffs and entering playoffs, what is and I'm glad you mentioned that it's early in the season, you're still trying to figure things out, but when it's go time, right, when it's win, you know, or you lose, you go home, you win in advance, you know, what are you telling your team, you know, the difference between the playoff mentality and regular season mentality? You're still trying to figure out what's the mentality you're trying to preach to your team at that during playoffs.
Well, I think it's just attention to detail. We always talk about that at practice, you know, those little things are important. And so, obviously, in the playoffs, you have to play to your strength. And we know we have a good defense. We know our offensive line is really good. We got great running backs, and so we're going to play to our strengths. And that's why you saw us play Central different the second time around versus the first. We know who we are, and we feel like if we can do those things and do them well, we have a chance to win.
And talking about your running backs and the changes that you made, number eight, Brandon Ramirez, and we were able to broadcast the game, so we had a really good view of the entire game. And it's, I know I've posted it on Twitter, and I've been talking about it a lot, because it's just, as a football fan and somebody who broadcasts games, the stats were just amazing. What I was watching was like, it was incredible. So 30 carries out of 44 total. You only attempted one pass. It was a completion. I believe it was 38 yards. It got you down. That was a really important pass because it got you down to the goal line, basically. And Ramirez was able to punch it in. But and then he seals the game with an interception. Now that you've had like a day to reflect on that performance, because as a coach, you're probably in the moment, you're like, hey, this working? Yeah, he's a dude, I've seen this before. But now you've had a little bit of time to maybe reflect on it, maybe watch some film on it. How do you see that game? And you ever seen a kid dominate a game like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I know, it's one of those special performances. You know, when you see Brando's different to me than most guys I've had, because he has to play on both sides of the ball. You know, we've had great running backs before. I remember way back 10 years ago, Chris Brown had great games against Garces. But Chris only played offense. You know, we asked Brando to go on offense and play almost every snap, go on defense and play every snap. And so he's probably playing 100 snaps a game. And so we ask him to do a lot. And so to see the performance that he put forth and carrying the ball 30 times and taking the hits and getting up and then covering guys man-to-man. And I mean, he's doing a lot, but he's just that type of guy.
He is, absolutely. And you got a guy that's sitting next to you, Jaden Enriquez, who played opposite. So Brandon Ramirez split one half playing his safety back. What position you call it? You call it safety back? Or
it's a whip for us. Yeah, Brandon plays the whip, and he plays our stud position. So he's more of the true outside backer. But we asked Jaden to line up and play man-to-man and or blitz and drop in zone. So those two positions for our defense are very important.
And so, Jaden, so you also line up as receiver a little bit. Obviously, the game plan is a little bit different, but defensively, you guys played a really good game. You know, Dayton Tafoya is a good quarterback. You've seen him before. You've played against him for a long time, I can presume. And they got some very capable wide receivers. So defensively, how were you guys able to, for the most part, again, they scored 21 points, and they were right there until the last minute. But how were you as a defense able to bottle up the receivers for the most part and not let a lot of those big plays happen that Central's able to do?
Well, I think that we just needed to make stops when we needed to. They were going to make their plays, and, you know, they're Central. You know, they can make a lot of plays happen. But I think it just came down to that fourth quarter where we didn't let them score again, and we had to fly to the ball, play physical, play hard, and that was pretty much our game plan.
And it's your senior year as well, right? So it's like, yeah, if you lose, you don't want that to be your last game. That's for darn sure. What was the mentality coming into this game, knowing that you guys beat them earlier in the year? They were hungry. You know, you didn't even mention last year in the playoffs when they beat you guys on your field. But, you know, what was the mentality that you guys had as a team coming into that game against Central on Thursday?
I think the mentality was to prove that we do belong in D1 playoffs, because we had heard this talk before the season started saying that we don't belong, and so we just took that personally, and we wanted to show that we do belong.
I think the script was flipped. Like last year, I think that was the talk, right? I mean, going from Division III a couple years ago, then up to Division II and winning, and then Division I, and then you lost to Central in the playoffs. And you guys had a lot to prove this year, and you guys are definitely proving you're going to be playing a really good team in Clovis West. We're going to get that into a second. So, Jaden, from your perspective, when you're in the game, when you're in the moment, and now that you've had a little bit of a time to reflect on the game, what impressed you most just about how your team performed and your teammate Brandon Ramirez, but as a team as a whole?
I think our physicality is what impressed me the most. Offensively, we just, you know, pounded the ball every single play. Defensively, we fly to the ball. I just really like how physical we were and how fast we were playing against a very fast team in Central.
How much freedom does Coach give you there on the defensive side of the ball? Can you line up some different spots, or maybe you try to line up a little bit different? Coaches are yelling at you or something. Or how much freedom do they give you out there?
I get them out, I would say. Like, there was this one play where I asked Coach Gostin if I could line up to Amari Conley's side because I felt like they were going to throw to his side. There's times where I'll line up a little differently depending on what I think they're going to do. to try to take it away early and make Tafoya look a different way or stuff like that.
I'm thinking of one play in particular, and I talked to Coach Gosen after the game a little bit about this play. So Connolly obviously is a kid that number 15 for Central you got to keep an eye on. He could line him up in different spots, that running back in a slot position. But they tried to slip him out from a slot position on, I think it was on Brandon's side, though. And you guys did a good job, blanketing him. And I think it was either you or Brandon that followed him to the end zone. So, you know, talk about the trust that you have with your teammates. Like, okay, if this guy falls back here, if this guy goes deep, I got you. So talk about the trust that you have with your teammates on defense.
Well, our defense really is about trusting each other. If not, we'll end up in the wrong positions. And, if you trust your teammates to make a play, then, I think they will make a play. And I really do trust every single one of my teammates, you know, to be in the right position. And, I'll be in the right position as well. So,
are you guys talking a lot during the game? Like, hey, go here, I got
you
here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we do. Especially to my inside linebackers, I try to let them know, like, hey, drop a little deeper because they're trying to get behind us so you can make a play, break it up, or, you know, do whatever you got
to
do.
And I need to mention, too, that you I think I just lost the stats, but you're also a wide receiver. I think you have about 300-something yards receiving. A lot of you guys are very capable on the receiving end, a couple touchdowns this year. But, again, talking about that game against Central, Coach Gosten, I mean, obviously Brandon put up the stats and he was a dude out there, but I saw a lot of players contributing. Carson Dean, obviously only the one pass that he threw all game, but his ability to run the offense and to get the guys in the right spots and the rhythm and no offensive false starts that I can remember. I mean, gosh, how important is that to have a quarterback that, you know, you could call a play right away, there's no confusion, you could point to guys and get in rhythm, get that play going.
Yeah, no, Carson did a really good job of being really focused. He knew what the goal was, what the task was, and so he knew that it was going to be one of those games where we have to make sure the formation's right, we have to make sure there's no issues with the handoffs, making sure the motions are correct. And so he was focused the entire game, and he did that. And he knew it was going to be one of those guys. I told him 2 weeks prior, hey, it's going to be a game like this. It's going to be a smash-mouth physical. Brandon's going to carry it 30 times. This is how we're going to win. And so he was ready for that. He knew that. And every game's going to be different, you know. So next week our game plan is going to be different. Yeah. It's a different opponent who has different strengths and weaknesses. And so we will do our job and put together a game plan that hopefully gives us the best chance to be successful. And we'll go out there and execute it.
Was there any concern going into this game against Central? Not that you were going to be complacent, but let's just – I mean, the CMAC was a little bit down. I can say that this year. So you were you guys were 5-0, the CMAC. I mean, you guys were scoring 40, 50, 50 points a game. You had that Sanger going into the last game. They were 4-0. I think it was tight for a while, went back and forth in the second half. Was there any concern about that headed into playoffs, or was it – right? Were you guys think you're peaking as much as peaking could be at that time?
Yeah, I think our preseason was really good. I mean, obviously we played Buchanan and North and then Queen Creek from Arizona and obviously Central and Garces is a good football team. And we finished up, you know, non-league with Buchanan. And so we set up our non-league that way, knowing we had a good football team. Also knowing that the CMAC may be a little bit down compared to years past. But Sanger was really good for us at the end of the year, that last game before playoffs, because they were a physical team, they're well coached, and they were a really good playoff team. And so that kind of got us that extra juice and got us ready for the playoffs, because we knew in the playoffs you're going to see Central again and the Clovis West and the Buchanans. And so, yeah, I think our non-league coupled with playing Sanger at the end kind of really helped us prepare for the playoffs. And we knew last year, you know, you mentioned it about losing to Central last year. We didn't play a very tough non-league, and our league wasn't too competitive. And so we were a good football team, but it's really different when you see a Central and a Buchanan like that, right? They're a different level. And so as I thought we were good, we probably weren't as well prepared as we were this year for that playoff run.
Talking with Anthony Gosten, the head coach at San Joaquin Memorial. Let's explore how your program has elevated from Division III to Division II, now to, you know, being one of the top teams in Division I with an excellent chance to be the top dog in all of the Central Section. So what has that development been with you and your program? I mean, you got really good players, obviously, right? You can't elevate unless you got really good players. But just the mentality to thinking like, yeah, guys, we belong.
Yeah, you know, I've been doing this for a long time. So I took over the program back in 2004. And when I took over then, we were going from the CSL back then to the NYL.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we were jumping from basically going from Division IV to Division II as well. And so that process of playing the NYL and then going to the CMAC and then taking your lumps in the CMAC. When we first joined the CMAC 10, 12 years ago, you know, the standard was Bullard. You know, yep. It was Bullard and Edison. Those were the standard. And, you know, we were battling with Sanger every year just to finish third. And so you taking your lumps. And I really, as a coach, I learned a lot from Bullard and Edison and Sanger and what they do. And I realized, okay, this is how we need to improve our program. Obviously, weight room's important. Off season's important. Attracting kids like Jaden to our school, you know, just getting better as a program. And so over time, you've seen us go from the NYL to the CMAC, and now competing for third, we're now winning the CMAC every year. And then obviously we go from Division III, Division II, now Division I. So you've seen our program, you know, go upward, and it's a testament to not only the coaches, what we do, but to the players that we have. You know, we've been fortunate that we're a good school and kids want to be a part of it. And we've attracted a lot of good kids, and it's our job as coaches to say, okay, let's take this group of kids and let's build a team. And so we've done that for the last 6-7 years, been very good. This team is right up there,
yeah.
And they're probably playing the toughest schedule that we've put together in some time. And so you really have to give them credit for kind of enjoying this and for our coaches to enjoy this process, because it's been a process, but it's been a fun process.
Jaden Enriquez is also joining us. And let's talk a little bit about the season and, you know, what has been your favorite game for you personally that you've played in, or the most satisfying game for you this year?
I want to say
it's always good to beat Bullard.
Yeah, Bullard. That was a fun game. Sanger as well was another good one. I think my favorite one was week two against Central.
Yeah.
Just that last play that Brando made. It was, I don't know, it was just amazing to watch. It's actually kind of crazy because we do this thing where we're a man and we switch. We'll call it usually. But something just clicked in our head because we didn't call switch on that play, right? And we just kind of knew. So we both just switched receivers, and he took my guy, I took his guy without even calling it. And I go and see him. I trusted him, and he seen it as well and made that play and broke it up. I was just like, wow, we were in sync, I guess you could say, yeah.
And that play against Central that you're talking about, Central had a chance, I think, to take the lead, right? I don't think it was the tie. I think it was a chance. Because it was 23-21. Yeah. And, one of the receivers broke on the left-hand side, and Ramirez caught up to him and dove at the last second and knocked it away. And then, again, he seals the game with an interception. Diving interception. He almost had it earlier. Talking about Brandon Ramirez, almost had one earlier to seal the game. But, he ended up coming with the interception. All right, so let's talk a little bit about Clovis West. We got about 3 minutes or so, 3 or 4 minutes. So Clovis West, and you probably already started hitting the film, coach. You know, we know about their success story. You know, only 4 wins last year, you know, number one seed this year, only that one loss to Central, which is still bonkers to be 45-0. But what are you guys going to have to do against Clovis West, and what do you see the strengths with those guys?
Yeah, I mean, they're a very talented team, you know. I mean, they're just watching them on film this morning again, and they like to throw the football. They have really good receivers. You know, they're very similar to Central in terms of, like, athletes, you know. Good athlete, good quarterback play, you know, good O-line, really good defensively. So, I mean, it's almost like a mirror image in terms of what you see on film from Central. Central's probably a little bit older and more experienced. A lot of those kids have been in those wars for the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
And Clovis West is on the uptick, so these kids are a little bit younger, but you can see the talent on film. And so we know it's going to be a challenge. We're going to have to prepare and get ready for them because we're going to La Monica, and that's going to be a crazy game. The winner goes to the Valley Championship. So, it's going to be a challenge, one that we're excited about. You know, they got to play us too, and so I'm sure they're going to do their homework and prepare. And two good teams going at it, and We'll see what happens.
And 1 versus 4, 2 versus 3, right? Just the way we planned it. Yeah. But what do you see in the other game, really quick? I'm interested in your opinion between Liberty and Buchanan. Again, it's a rematch between those guys, and you've obviously Buchanan up close, and we know how good Liberty is and how well coached they are. But how do you see that game matchup?
Yeah, I know it's funny because we've played Buchanan. Buchanan's really good. I love their quarterback. He's a really good player. He makes plays, and you know, we lost them by 7, but it's like we played Central, and it's always hard to play a team twice and beat a team twice. And I know Buchanan got Liberty in the preseason, and so I'm sure that plays into both teams' psyche. I think it's going to be a fantastic football game. I know Liberty's very physical, so is Buchanan. I expect it to be a close game.
I do too. Yeah. I think your game is going to be close, right? Yeah. And I think that game, it's going to be a lot of fun to talk about this week. And I don't know which game we're going to be broadcasting. We haven't decided yet. So, man, I know whatever game we do, it's going to be a great one. All right, last question here for you, Coach. San Joaquin Memorial will be the section champs if?
If we can continue to play really good defense and obviously run the football, and then when we need to make throws.
Absolutely, and you got some really good players. I love to talk to you more about your team, but you got a really balanced offensive line. Your linebackers, number 47, is really good. Jaden Enriquez is this guy patrolling in the backfield. And, I mean, you got a really good team, Coach. It's been a pleasure. Been a lot of fun watching you, and thanks for coming in.
Absolutely. I appreciate it.
You bet. Jaden, thanks for coming in as well. Appreciate it.
Yep, thank you.
All right, now you got to get back, right? Got more work to be done. All right. Thank you to San Joaquin Memorial Coach Anthony Ghost and Jaden Enriquez. He's our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week. Yeah, can't wait for that game, man. These games in Division I and Division II, and all the divisions are going to be really good. Coming up after the break, bring on Gabe Camarillo again. We're going to be breaking these games down a little bit more. What are the keys? What are certain teams going to have to do against, you know, against their opponents to win the games? Coming up on 1430 ESPN.
In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome back to hour number 2 of the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Metters. You can follow me in the Twitter sphere at Paul Metters, PaulMeadors. Isn't Twitter a funny place now? Now it's been bought by Elon Musk. Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Who gets a blue check? Who pays $8 a month? Who's verified, whatever that means? I guess it means you're a little more legit than just a random clown. I don't know. There's just lots of interesting things that happen on Twitter, but it is the information superhighway. I mean, heck, information's changed how we get it. Newspapers are going the way of the dodo bird. We all know that. Everything's internet, instant. But, yeah, you can follow me on Twitter. You can also follow Gabe Camarillo at Gabe Camarillo _. He does a fantastic job up and down the central section. He's everywhere and anywhere and everywhere in between. He does a fantastic job. We talked in the first hour about some of the games that are going on, games that went on Thursday. And we're going to be talking about some of these great Division I, Division II, all the way through Division VI matchups. But first of all, Gabe, I want to ask you, what did you have for breakfast this morning? Let's change the subject to food.
That's so random.
Isn't that random?
Well, yeah. I mean, we were talking about high school football. Now we're talking about breakfast. But, yeah, I had McDonald's for all the listeners out there.
And, you know, it's always fun. And you wake up in the morning, Saturday mornings, and I do a couple tune-ups on my show, and I talk to Gabe. Who's coming on the show? What do you want to talk about? And he's like, yeah, I got my McDonald's waiting for me from Uber Eats, so I thought I'd have to ask you about your big breakfast. Yeah, well, I get Starbucks every morning. And
you know
you got a problem when you go to Starbucks here next to First String Sports, and you walk in and you get your drink, and they're all, hey, Paul, how you doing? Have a good show. So they know exactly what I'm doing
as
well.
Cool.
So, hey, routines. Routines are king here. Also, content is king here on 1430 ESPN. So, Gabe, I want to ask you, In divisions 3 through 6, because we get a lot of love to divisions 1 and 2. A lot of our local teams, you're talking about Fresno and Clovis area, are division 1 and division 2. But divisions 3 through 6, there are a few upsets, and we figured there would be because of the Cal Preps rankings. I thought they nailed it in divisions 1 and 2, but 3 through 6 had a couple question marks. But just looking at the brackets and how things fleshed out, what surprised you the most about those divisions right now?
A couple things. Liberty Madera losing was shocking, and I think it was 13-0 at one point, yeah. Liberty Madera. But Shafter's quarterback, Ezekiel Osborne, he's special. I mean, I saw a clip on Twitter of his go-ahead touchdown pass, and then they went for the PAT. I think Liberty tried to ice them, and Shafter still made it. They made the PAT. So, yeah, that was a shocking result just because I knew the Hawks were senior-laden, and they had such a fantastic regular season. But just goes to show you that in the playoffs, anything can happen. I think Independence beating Mission Oak, that was a little shocking because now we see the number 15 seed win 2 games in these D3 playoffs. And I think what made it a little shocking was the fact that Independence didn't show up to Bamathai Stadium until 20 minutes before kickoff. Their bus, for some reason, showed up late to Independence High School. I'm sure that the coaches and players are probably frantic, or at least the coaches are probably frantic. The players are probably cool as a cucumber. But I think that they were able to get their 20-minute warm-ups in, and then play Mission Oak very tough. I think that's an intriguing semifinal in Division III. Sunnyside hosting Independence, two teams similar to Sunnyside and Tehachapi, just two teams that are so different from each other. Another kind of shocking upset was Bishop losing to Pioneer Valley. Just the Bishop Broncos, I know that they're a hard-nosed, a gritty team, and it's always tough to play in Bishop. I'm sure the temperature was like in the 30s there. But give Pioneer Valley credit. The Santa Maria team able to make the long drive to Bishop and win. Division 5 now, Dos Palos is the only Central Valley team in there. So cheer for Dos Palos because the other schools are all from the Central Coast. And then in Division 6, the other upset that I heard you mention in the first segment, Emmanuel losing to Riverdale. I was on the fence about this one because I heard rumors that Emmanuel running back Will Henderson could have been out of that game. I think he was injured for the week prior. So I'm not sure if he played or not, but it looked like Riverdale was able to pull off the upset. And that makes two freshman quarterbacks. There's Zayden Camacho for Riverdale and Ezekiel Osborne for Shafter. That led some pretty big upsets.
So in Division 3 that you mentioned, the Sunnyside and Independence game. So Sunnyside is the 11th seed. Independence is the 15th seed. Up above, Mission Prep, really good ball club there, is going to be facing Kennedy. That's going to be a really intriguing matchup. And Mission Prep, San Luis Obispo, my wife and I were there on our anniversary. And it's interesting how the campus is laid out. So we're walking around. We just had a nice dinner there. And all of a sudden, boom, we're at Mission Prep High School. And so, of course, me being me on my anniversary weekend, I go, Lori, come on, let's go look at the football field. Let's go behind here. Look, there's a little alleyway. Let's go check it out. So we're able to check out the football field there at Mission Prep. And, so that was a lot of fun. So, yeah, Sunnyside, hey, their offense is really good. We know that with Tanner Wilson, record-setting quarterback. I think they're going to win, and I think they're going to be facing Mission Prep, don't you?
I think so, too. And that means a trip down to San Luis Obispo on that one-block campus. I know exactly what you're talking about, Paul. I think the entire campus is on, like, one square block. I went to the gym there last winter for the Mission Prep Hoop Holiday Classic, and I'm like, this is a small campus, but it's perfect for that school. And I know we talked about it a lot last season, but it's really unique that Mission Prep went from 8-man football a couple seasons ago to now they're the one seed in Division 3, which is perfect for them because they didn't belong in Division 2 last year. They shouldn't have been playing Bakersfield High School. Now they're in a division that fits them. I think you can say the same for Sunnyside. I think Mission Prep and Sunnyside will be favored in both of their semifinal matchups, and that would set up an intriguing D3 final. But let's not look too far ahead, Paul. I'm not writing anyone in the section finals just yet because, as we learned a couple nights ago, anything can happen in November.
No, absolutely. So let's break down our Division I games. Clovis West, number one, San Joaquin Memorial. Just heard from Coach Ghostin. They got a really, really balanced team. We know about Clovis West offense, Aiden Fordberry at running back, three very, very good receivers. Talking about Clovis West, Do you think San Joaquin Memorial, and we know that Coach Gosen said, hey, game plan is going to be different going to Clovis West, but do you think they could sustain winning football games with just Brandon Ramirez against a really good Clovis West defense?
I think they can. I think the only reason why Ramirez ran that much and Carson Dean only had one pass attempt was that was the game plan. I mean, that's what they wanted to do going in because they knew Central, as opposed to previous seasons where Central's had big guys up front in the front seven, they didn't have that this year. I mean, they graduated a lot of key seniors like Marcus Ramirez and Jeremiah Shelton. And Coach Gosten would say it himself, last year's Central defense, you couldn't do that against them. They couldn't run Brandon Ramirez 30 times for 326 yards. It just wasn't possible last year. But this year, they could, and so they did. I don't think they're going to follow that same game plan against Clovis West, not against Deshaun Watts and Titus Kajavi and that monster front seven that Clovis West has. So I think this one, it's going to be a more balanced game plan for San Joaquin Memorial. They're going to want Carson Dean to make some throws downfield, and he has a very good receiver group to throw to with Tommy Nix, Ramon Ruiz, Jaden Enriquez. There's a couple other guys in there, Joe Delena. So I think with
Tristan.
Tristan, yeah, exactly. I think that is going to be what we see in this one. A more balanced approach for San Joaquin Memorial. But I don't see either team scoring that much, to be honest, Paul. Both these defenses are so good. It's going to be a La Monica Stadium. I think this one will be a defensive chess match, more along the lines of a 17-14, maybe a 21-17 final score.
The Panthers' offensive line, who Coach Gosten says it looks a little bit different than their game earlier against Central on August 26th. They looked really good. They paved the way for Ramirez, but Eagles' defensive line, as you mentioned, is good as well, that front seven. And Clovis West wide receivers against San Joaquin Memorial secondary. Oh, man, that's going to be tasty as well. You got Brandon Ramirez and the guy that was just on the show, Jaden Enriquez, which is kind of splitting the field, man. I don't think Clovis West is going to get a lot of those home run passes that they've relied on during the season.
Yeah, San Joaquin Memorial secondary. You got Brandon Ramirez at strong safety, Jordan Colbert at free safety, the other Jordan Black. No, I think it's Jordan Black at free safety, then Jordan Colbert at corner, Donovan Harris at the other corner, and then you got those linebackers led by Enriquez, and then up front, you got Marquise Jones. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. This Memorial defense might be one of the very best, if not the best, that Anthony Gosten's had during his time at Memorial, and he's the defensive coordinator along with the head coach, so he's able to maneuver those guys however he sees fit. That's why it's going to be a chess match. Think of it as a game within the game between Clovis West offensive coordinator Lewis Franklin and then Anthony Gosten, the defensive coordinator, because they're going to be moving piece for piece. I know the defense for Clovis West, they're going to play well because their head coach was a former standout linebacker at Clovis West. That's why I think this game, despite the talent on both offenses, it's November. It's cold. It's going to devolve into a low-scoring slugfest.
Oh, absolutely. And mentioned Coach Gosten, and he's also the intern principal at San Joaquin Memorial. So this guy wears a lot of hats, does a fantastic job. And one other thing of note of Gabe that I just found out. So we talk about Marquise Jones Jr., number 50, who really controlled the line of scrimmage. We thought that he was a Nevada commit, but just found out, actually, he's going to Cal Poly.
That's awesome. I mean, good for Cal Poly, and I think they're going to get a few other local Central Valley kids.
No, they are. There's a big Cal Poly presence at San Joaquin Memorial. Okay, so number two, Buchanan. Number three, Liberty. Oh, we knew, I think, you know, after that game down in Bakersfield, a lot of us were saying, well, they're going to meet in the playoffs anyway, whether one's going to be a one seed and a four seed or in the championship game. But here they are in the semifinals. They're going to meet again. So let's settle it on the field. Man, it's going to be an incredible rematch. Can Buchanan limit the big plays of Liberty? Because it seems like Liberty, every game, either scores on an interception return, a fumble return, a kickoff return for a touchdown, a punt return. They can score in a variety of different ways. One of the questions is, do you think Buchanan can limit Liberty? Because I think Buchanan's defense has really stepped up. I think they'll be able to stop them off their offensively. But can they limit the big and special teams play of Liberty?
I think they can if they're healthy, if they have their best players like Logan Stude and Cannon Campbell and Makai Johnson and Roman Fries and all those guys on the defensive side of the ball. I think they can, but we saw in that Liberty game, don't forget, Liberty was up 14-0 very early because of some special team scores by Krishan Kizzy. Now, they were able to come back, the Bears were, and it was, I think, 35-14, and then Liberty came back and made it 35-27 before lightning struck.
Buchanan scored 35 straight after they were down 14-0.
So that's what makes me think this Liberty defense, the question should be, can this Liberty defense stop Jaden Mandel and the Bears? Because they couldn't in the first game. And I know they got better, as I said earlier in the show. Teams get better as the season gets on. And so Buchanan and Liberty are both very different but very improved squads from their September forms. But that's going to be the big question for me. Can Liberty stop Jaden Mandel's passing attack? Because Clovis North couldn't. So many teams this season couldn't. And they're going to need to if they want to move on.
Well, tons of stars in that game. So we've mentioned Jaden Mandel, the Fresno State quarterback commit. Michael Runnels, the running back, who's as solid as anybody in the Central section. Colton O'Toole, an athlete. And we saw that, we know he can sling the ball as well. So he's a threat there. And the rotating quarterbacks of Liberty, Jalen Hawkins, the running back, Rashawn Kizzy, who's a phenomenal player. Hey, I'm a little jealous of you because I can only be at one place at one time on Friday nights. Whatever game we're broadcasting, it's going to be one of those two. But you can go wherever you want. I think you're going to be at both games, aren't you? One half and one half?
Probably, if that's the way Stephen Hicks has it.
Yeah. All right. Stephen Hicks, ABC 30, sports director. I know you're interning there, so you're able to patrol the sidelines and get the Gabe Camarillo view on those games. All right. D2, number one, CVC. Number four, Hanford. Both teams can be explosive, right? But can Hanford beat CVC in a low-scoring game?
I'm trying to think to myself. I don't think CVC's face a team like Hanford, not a no-huddle spread offense that has so many playmakers like Hanford. But I'm not sure if Hanford's faced a team like CVC yet, a team that has multiple Division I level players like Jaden Moore and Bryson Donaldson. And then there's another level of players there that are going to play college football like Zach Swart and Chapman Dunn and those receivers and then Max Backer, the quarterback. Like, there's so much talent in this game. I know CVC will go in as a favorite. Maybe a 3.5-point favorite. I know we don't condone gambling here, but 3.5-point favorite is what you would say CVC would be. But Hanford, because they're so explosive, I think maybe CVC should look at the film and look at what Lamar did, because Lamar is the only team, in my opinion, that successfully stifled Hanford. And so if you're Coach Mason Hughes, maybe you go back to what Lamar did and say, okay, this worked. This is what threw off Hanford. If you're Hanford, what do you do to stop CVC? Maybe watch what Sanger did. Now, Sanger's a completely different offense than Hanford, but maybe look at what they did defensively. Look at other close games that CVC played, maybe the Kingsburg game, maybe the Clovis North game, and say, okay, CVC's been so dominant this season. How do we keep them limited with their possessions, and how do we make sure that their defense isn't stopping us? I think this is going to be all about which team prepares more during the week, because both these teams are facing challenges that they haven't quite faced yet this year.
Well, I know both teams are very familiar with each other, and just as far as common opponents, and I know Coach Sanchez and Coach Hughes on both sides, they're very involved, right? They know the landscape of Division II. They know they know what it takes to win as well. I mean that's going to be a battle. It's going to be in Visalia. The spread offense of Hanford, you also think, well, spread offense, they throw the ball over the field. Well, no. I mean, their running game is just as potent as their passing game. And for CVC, just looking at the stats against Sanger, it wasn't quite the amount that Brandon Romero's run, but they ran Donaldson a lot, and he had 176 yards rushing, which is a great number for a high school playoff game. But you need a little bit of production from everybody when it comes to the playoffs.
Lamar had three rushers over 100 yards against Hanford. So if Hanford can't stop the run, why would CVC go anywhere else? I mean, this could be like a Brandon Ramirez type game plan where it's like, Bryson Donaldson, we know Hanford can't stop you. Let's just run you 30 times, and Max Backer will make throws when he needs to on third and long and in maybe goal line situations. But yeah, I think that's going to be what is the X factor. Can Hanford fix its mistakes that it had a couple weeks ago against Lamar? I know they're a better team than that, so I think that's why I'm thinking CVC's the favorite. But Hanford just flipped the switch. They're so different from when they faced Lamar to when they faced Ridgeview and Bakersfield Christian. They put up 84 points against against Ridgeview, and then against BCHS, they put up like 50-something. I have it in front of
51.
Me right now. 51. So, yeah, this is a different team than what was seen 3 weeks ago. Coach Sanchez does a great job. This is a matchup I secretly was hoping for because there's some storylines in this one. Jaden Moore, he's from originally the Hanford area. Now he's facing his former high school team. That's going to be an intense matchup, no doubt about it.
All right, now I want to be three places at once next Friday. And the final game that we've discussed a little bit, number three, Lemoore versus number seven, Frontier. You know, the Kingsburg, you know, unfortunately, they weren't able to stop Frontier defensively. But does Frontier have enough juice to keep up with Lemoore?
I don't know. I told you off the air, this is probably going to be a very high-scoring affair. I think Frontier and Lemoore, they have some really good quarterbacks. They have some good playmakers. But Lemoore's defense is really good. I think a lot of the attention goes to Lemoore's offense, and rightfully so, because they're putting up like 50, 60 points a game. But the defense, they're the team that stopped Hanford. They're the team that was able to stop a lot of the West Yosemite League opponents. And that Clovis West game was a good test for them early in the season. So this Lemoore defense, I think, will be the difference maker here. I think Lemoore is the heavy favorite to beat Frontier. But you got to give Frontier its respect because they beat Kingsburg, and they did it in Kingsburg. That's not a very easy thing to do.
They did, yeah. Again, I'm glad you mentioned that Lemoore had three guys go over 100 yards in their big win. But, yeah, they're a juggernaut right now. And just some of these scores by Lemoore and Hanford are crazy, right? You think 40 points, right? That's kind of the benchmark you think. 40 points is a lot of points. Like 30, yeah, okay, that's pretty cool. 40, yeah, that's a lot of points. And when you get up into the 60s and 70s and 80s, that just blows your mind. To me, that's a well-oiled machine. And, you know, Hanford and Lemoore are playing at a high level. Okay, Gabe, so I know you're going to be talking – we're going to be talking a lot this week about these games. I'm sure you're going to have a lot of coaches on previewing these matchups. You know, I think the stage is absolutely set for some great finals happening the day after Thanksgiving. We can't wait for that. Is there anything else you want to add about the playoffs in general, how pumped we are? I know you and I could get pretty pumped up about this stuff, and deservedly so, man. This is an exciting part of the high school football season. But is there anything else you want to add before we take a break?
There is a really cool story developing in Madera. Torres High School, in only their second varsity season, they're going to host the Division IV semifinals against Shafter. Now, Shafter's a very hot team. They just beat number one Liberty Madera, and their freshman quarterback is not looking like a freshman. He's playing really well. But if Torres gets past Shafter, they'll either face Kalinga or Carruthers. That's a really cool story for head coach Joe Marquez and the Toros. They just beat North a couple nights ago, and it's really special because you think about it, right? It's always been Madera and Madera South, and now There's a new kid on the block, Torres, and they are winning some football games. Let's see how far the Toros can get. I know they're going to face a good team in Shafter, but if they get past Shafter, well, they're playing for a Central Section Championship in just their second year, Paul.
That's crazy. That's crazy, and they're the four seed, right?
Yes, they're the fourth seed, and they'll host number eight seed Shafter. A couple nights ago, it was at Madera South. I don't know yet where it'll be played, either at Madera's Memorial Stadium or at Madera South.
And then, so Clovis West and Memorial, they're going to be playing at La Monica and Buchanan and Liberty at Veterans, right? Correct?
Yes. Clovis West chose La Monica this time around. Someone asked me, like, how come they can just choose whichever stadium? Because they're the number one seed. And on that note, Paul, you got me on my soapbox now. Why is Clovis West getting disrespected as the number one seed? Everyone I talked to Thursday night was telling me, oh, Memorial's going to run through Clovis West. Clovis West can't handle Memorial's Brandon Ramirez. Listen, Clovis West has a very good defense. I think they've played some good games. This is the defense that beat Buchanan's Jaden Mandel and the Bears. I mean, Buchanan's offense is really good, and Clovis West did a good job game planning against him. So I think pump the brakes on this upset talk. Memorial's a very good program, and I give them their respect that they deserve. They definitely deserve it. They've played pretty much a track schedule. They've played Clovis North and Buchanan and Central twice, and now they face Clovis West. But Clovis West is the number one seed for a reason. They have a very good defense. We saw them play against all types of tough competition. And by the way, the team that Clovis West shut out earlier this year, Turlock just beat St. Mary's of Stockton in the Sac Joaquin playoffs. St. Mary's of Stockton, the number 11 team in the state. Clovis West preseason schedule is now tougher than what we previously thought, and they're playing well. So I expect Clovis West Memorial to be a very close ball game, but don't tell me right away, only a couple minutes after Brandon Ramirez runs over Central, that they're going to run over Clovis West. It's the semifinals. It's not easy for anybody, let alone in Division I.
Clovis West, four shutouts on the season. Coach Eric Brown, he's been on the show as well. He's a great coach. Coach Anthony Ghost, and oh, So many storylines in this game. Can't wait, Gabe. Good job by you. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you, Paul.
You bet. All right. Coming up after the break. Woo. Always exciting talk. High school football. We love it here on 1430 ESPN. Let's go to Division Four. Give a lot of love to Division One and Two, but Carruthers coach Brandon Ward coming on the show. Blue Raiders are 10-2. They're advancing to the semifinals after two big wins. Looking forward to talking to him on 1430 ESPN.
The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Thank you guys for listening, Central Valley Sports Report. 1430 ESPN, I'm your host, Paul Metters. Always love talking with Gabe when we're just very enthusiastic about high school sports. You know, I graduated from Emmanuel High School in 1989, and it's my second year doing the radio show. And, you know, my high school memories of playing athletics are still very vivid. Played in the alumni basketball game last Monday and got to see guys that I see basically once a year, get to joke around and shoot the basketball and make fun of each other and all those things that alumni games are supposed to be about. And, you know, it's a special time, absolutely special time in kids' lives. Hopefully, when you get a little bit older, you look at those times fondly. And I know, you remember the losses just as much as you remember the wins. But, we love talking about high school sports. And we're going to be talking with Carruthers football coach Brandon Ward. Blue Raiders are 10-2 right now. The D4 semifinals, two big wins over the CMAC teams. Madera, 49-35. And beat Justin Garza, 45-13 on Thursday. Coach, welcome to the show. Really appreciate you coming on this Saturday.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Going great. All right, so let's go back to the most memorable game, or the most recent game, that went against Justin Garza. You know, was that just a case of executing the game plan before the game? Did that game just unfold exactly as you had hoped?
Well, the result was, yeah, for sure. But, we knew going in that they were, it's a good football team, both Madera and Justin Garza, and so – we kind of joke with the coaching staff, we're 2-0 in CMAC right now. So,
yeah, you guys executed really, really well. But you got a dude. You got a running back. And I mentioned him earlier, Hunter Babb. He's a junior. In the last two games, if my Common Core math skills are correct, he's rushed for 478 yards and 10 touchdowns against CMAC opponents. What makes that kid special?
Wow. Well, he's really strong and he's really fast, man. He's a good kid, really good kid. I think it's helped. We had another guy step up at defensive end because Babb starts for us at defensive end as well. And this week we had Aaron Raines come in and play some end, and he did a solid job. So that really frees up Babb to rest up and just focus on offense. And I think that's helped a lot as well. But he is a special kid, man. He's just got game-breaking speed, man. Game-breaking speed. So special dude.
And it looks like, just looking at his stats on Max Preps, his last four games, he's rushed for over 200 yards in all those games. A little bit of a slow start. Were you just not slow start necessarily, but didn't have those impressive stats that he has now? Was it just a case of easing him into the program, just seeing where he fit in the offense? Or what was the case, before his big explosion the last four games?
Well, the Liberty game, we threw the ball a lot more. We still like to throw the ball some, mix it up and keep it balanced as balanced as we can. But especially the last couple games, we really leaned on Babb. Our passing game struggled just a bit. And so we relied on him and he was our workhorse, I'm looking at the stats right here. My offense coordinator sent me. The last four games, he's rushed 97 times for 1,000 yards, 18 rushing TDs. He's got 145 receiving yards off six carries and one touchdown. So just amazing numbers by Hunter Babb.
And he's not a big kid, right?
No, he's not the biggest, but he's not the smallest either. He's built very well, man.
Okay. A tank, right? I think Todd Tompkins, friend of the show, he's a Carruthers legend, Easton legend as well. I think he posted something like, what do they call him, a little Boz, Bosworth, yeah, or something like that. What do you call him?
It looks like the Boz, man. Everything. So I joked with him his freshman year. I'm like, hey, man, you guys know, who Brian Bosworth is? He had no idea, but he knows now.
They had kids these days, right? Come on. You just go to YouTube and then check out Bosworth. He was a dude.
The Boz. Just don't watch. Yeah.
Yeah, the documentary, right? Don't follow his career path, but you know, he was a dude at Oklahoma. He was definitely a standout, and then I remember him more as Bo Jackson tanking him at the goal line, right?
I was gonna say, yeah, I watched the Bo Jackson clips.
All right, thinking about your team this year as a whole, your season, so you have two losses on the year. Your two losses were on August 26th to San Luis Obispo, who's turned out to be a really good ball club, 28-7, and then that great game against Liberty that you guys almost came back and beat them on 27-24. When do you think, and then just in league, I mean, I can mention the scores, but let's just say that you guys had a lot of blowouts in your league, but when do you think this team just really – really clicked?
I would have to say that the tipping point for us whenever we really started to get it was at halftime of the Liberty game. You know, our guys, you know, looked a little shell-shocked during that first half. You know, we were down, what was it, 27-16. And we just had a little, you know, heart-to-heart, like, listen, guys, we're fine. You know, because some of the heads were hanging and stuff. It's like, we're fine. You just got to trust it and believe in it, in the system. We're going to be fine. Don't get overwhelmed with, you know, the adversity and learn how to fight through it. And, you know, we ended up shutting Liberty out that second half. And matter of fact, the next three games after that, we had shutouts. So we had seven halves of shutout football up until, I believe it was the Chowchilla game. But, you know, they really, you know, we got good kids, man. They buy in, they listen, there's no complaining. There's no me stuff. They're just a really team-oriented, family-oriented team. So I'm really proud of them.
Did you use the size of your school in Division IV, right? When you think of Division IV, you think about schools like Carruthers, schools like Fowler even. And, you know, I know Chowchilla's a little bit down this year, but those are the types of schools that I think in Division IV. Did you use the size of your school as a motivator playing against the CMAC teams? You know, Madera has a little over 2,000. Justin Garza, different situation. They're going to be big in a couple years, but they have 30 sophomores and 7 juniors on their team. But, again, it's going to be a big school. Did you use that as a motivating factor at all, or are you just like, hey, we're just playing football?
Well, that's a tough one because we, you know, I feel like we, me myself, you know, I kind of coach with a chip on my shoulder. I think our guys kind of play that way as well. We don't make excuses about the size of our school or who we have to go up against. You mentioned it. I mean, Madera has 2,200 kids. Garza, without seniors, has 1,600. It is what it is. You know, that we can't control who we're matched up against other than, you know, our regular season, obviously. But when it comes to playoffs, we get who we get. We don't cry about it and say, you know, well, why are we playing these guys because they're bigger? Hey, look, man. That's why one of the reasons we scheduled San Luis Obispo is to get that feel of the big school, you know. And, hey, we were right there with San Luis at halftime, 7-0, and then it kind of got away from us. And we used that as a teaching point to say, hey, you know, guys, we got to keep grinding for 48 minutes, man. And, you know, and so towards the end of the league, you know, we had some good matchups with Chowchilla and Fowler that kind of got us primed for the playoffs. And so, yeah, I mean, we talked about it. We talked about, you know, the size and how, you know, they're going to come in here with a little swagger because they're the big school. But, you know, end of the day, you know, we focus on what our assignment is and what we need to do to be successful. And that's I'm really happy with our guys and how they have played in the first couple rounds of the playoffs.
Talk with Brandon Ward, the head coach at Carruthers. So last year I kept hearing about how young your team was. You guys went 5-7 last year. Yep. In what ways have you seen your team grow from last year to the team that they are right now?
Oh, tremendously. You know, I mean, I'm really proud of last year's team that went 5-7 because, you know, we could have easily went, you know, 1-8 or whatever, 1-10, whatever it was. But we, you know, our growth is just outstanding. You know, from our quarterback, Colin Hirschkorn has done an amazing job transitioning from his junior to senior year. And he's really helped us. To be quite honest, to open up the run game, you know, to get another guy out of the box, to help Hunter out in a lot of our games. You know, he had a heck of a game last Thursday as well, you know, with, I think he had 130 yards pass or 150 yards passing, something like that. So he did a great job too, you know, that kind of try to get some of those guys. They still stack the box, you know, but Hunter, you know, Hunter's Hunter. He got his yards. And, you know, quite honest, when you stack the box like that and he gets past the second level, see you later, man. He's fun to watch. Well, and you know, those two guys, you know, I hear the comments that, you know, your offensive line isn't that big. You know, our right tackle is a big dude. Other than that, we're undersized as far as what, you know, you think an offensive line would be. But, man, they're good. You know, much credit to Jacob Budwig and working with those guys, and Larry Almeida and Joseph Almeida, our offense coordinator, working with those guys, and just they are a strong-willed, minded group of guys that do their jobs, you know, and that's a big reason why Hunter's able to get the yards that he's got is obviously up front and what our offensive line is doing. Undersized or not, it doesn't matter. Again, we don't make excuses. You know, it is what it is. You got a 250-pound 300 guy in front of you. You got to move him. You got to get him down. You got to down block him. You know what I mean? So great job with those guys up front.
And Carruthers, I mean, you guys have been always been known to be super, super tough and gritty and get the most out of your players. And, you know, the name Hirschhorn, right? It seems like there's always a Hirschhorn out there in Carruthers, and we know about uncles and dads and, you know, baseball coach at Fresno Pacific. They're a great family. But who are some other kids on your team that you want to give a shout-out to that, you know, maybe even some of the unsung kids that are on the team?
Man, I wish I could read off my roster to you, Paul.
I could do that.
And I tell my guys as well, you know, the ones that don't see the field a lot, they're a huge reason for our success as well, because they're out there grinding Monday through Thursday, you know, getting our guys better and prepared, you know, to on the scout team to go out and perform on, you know, Thursday or Friday night. So, Lorenzo Taguada is the first one that comes to mind. He had a great interception to kind of kick it off for us on Thursday. Great kid, quiet, but just does his job. He's so dynamic. He plays receiver for us and safety. You got to see it, man. He had a great interception. He almost loses his, he almost goes down. He keeps his balance. You know, he's a wrestler, so that accounts for some of that. But, you know, he takes it all the way down there, almost scores on it, you know, gets us down into, I think, inside the five. But Lorenzo Taguada is a special kid. I mean, Abraham Lopez, one of our other running backs, he's a special kid. Asher Cummings plays our wide out for us. He's a dynamic, fast, strong kid. You know, Landon Almeida plays tight end for us. Split him out wider. So, you know, you might think he's a receiver at times, but he's a great down blocker. He's a great blocker in general. And he's a big target, you know, over 6 foot tall, goes and gets the ball. So our offense is hard to stop because we're so well balanced. You know, you want to stack the box. Okay, now how are you going to take care of those three receivers I just talked about, you know? Defensively, can I keep going, Paul? Is this too much?
Absolutely.
Man?
No. Yeah. We got tons of time. Go.
Taking up all the time, man. So defensively, you know, I'm really proud of our linebackers. You know, we've got, Jesse Fernandez. We just actually switched him to our Mike backer for last week's matchup. We'll probably do that again. It seems to be a good fit for him, but we got, Daniel, Carmona and, Josiah Cardoza. You know, what's cool is about, I don't know, 5 or 6 weeks ago, they come out. We got a home game. I can't remember who it was, Minarets or something. And they come out and they've got these horse collars on. You know what the horse collar is? Brace. Yeah. They come out. All three of them got it. They went to the defensive coordinator and said, "Hey, how can we get these?" And so he ordered them for him. So I thought that was pretty cool.
That's old school.
Those guys are solid, man. And then up front, you know, Jaden Ayala, Junior Madrigal. I know I'm going to leave someone off. I'm going to feel really bad about it, man. But, and then Landon Almeida at the end does a solid job for us holding down the edge. Our DBs are really solid. We got exposed a little bit in the first round against Madera, but man, we made adjustments. I'm proud of our secondary coach, Marquise Wells, and the job that him and Jacob Budwig, our defensive coordinator, did. Addressing the issue and fixing it. And we played really solid in secondary last Thursday against Garza. So a big reason for that I'm losing my mind here. Let's see here. Noah Puga, Daniel Rosales, you know, those guys did a solid job, man. And then Julian De La Rosa, you know, again, you look at him, you go, that we're going to go after that guy because he's not the biggest dude. But that's not a good idea because he's really good. You know what I mean? So it's just all around. There's really, to be honest, and I'm not one to brag, but there's not a lot of weak spots in our offense or defense. And special teams is playing really well too, man. So I'm really proud of our guys.
Well, all of those factors definitely come into play. And you guys got a home game, man. How cool is that? So Friday into November 18th, you guys are going to be taking on Kalinga, who upset the number 2 team, Taft. I'm sure, you're calling from practice. I'm sure you're probably in your room right now going over some game film, going over practice schedule. But what can we expect in your game against Kalinga?
you're going to expect a pretty good game because Kalinga's good. You know, they got two receivers that are really, really special, man. So obviously that's going to be one of our focus points is, you know, I really like, we played them game one this year, and they got after us that first half, and we made some adjustments to address their stud receivers. And so, you know, we came out, we actually did a really good job containing them in the second half. So we'll see. I'm still breaking down the film. We're still, you know, creating the game plan, but they're good, man. I mean, you know, if you're still playing football time of the year, it says something. It means you're pretty good, right? So,
no, exactly. We got about 5 minutes here, and I definitely want to talk about Carruthers as a whole, the community and the school and the success that you guys had in all sports. You're a 1994 Carruthers graduate, and I mean, the school's really emerged as one of the top small schools in the state. What makes Carruthers High School a special place to be?
Support, man. The admin has always been supportive. Our community has always been supportive. You know, we give our kids a first-class treatment, man. You know, they just because we're out in the rural countryside and we're small, 650 students, wherever we're at, doesn't mean they don't deserve the perks of the big school. And so we take care of our kids, man. And I'm really proud of that. You know, our girls' tennis team just won the Division IV championship on Wednesday. On Monday, admin took them to Teppanyaki, right, and spent some money on them and treated them like royalty, man, and like they should be, you know. So, you know, when you go to Carruthers, you're going to get taken care of. You know, the teachers, all the staff, the admin care about our kids. They put kids first, and that's the way it should be. It's not about me as the coach or the AD. It's about the experience that the kids get in their 4 years at Carruthers High School.
And I've seen that firsthand. We talk a lot about the success that the girls basketball program has had, and Coach Anna Almeida does a phenomenal job there. And I was able to watch the championship game last year, and the gym was rocking. The student support was awesome. And I know you've had some incredible stadium renovations as well. And so you guys have made a concentrated effort to take care of your kids and to give them the best, you know, uniforms possible, the best, equipment and your stadium. So talk about your stadium and the improvements that you guys made there.
It's beautiful, man. You got to come out and check it out, Paul. It's not even done yet. We still have, we've got a brand new grandstand, bleachers, you know, home side. We've got brand new, everything's renovated, man. From the bleachers to we got an all weather track, you know, we've got, a natural playing surface, which I'm really, proud of that we didn't go to artificial turf. You know, we stuck to the grass. It's not even done yet. We've still got a fancy scoreboard that's going to be put in next year. We've got snack bar with bathrooms on both sides for home and visitors. You got to come check it out. That's all I can say. It's second to none, man. It makes me really proud when I step out there. It's starting to feel like home a little bit. You know, I'm so used to the old facility, you know, but Anderson Field, the name of it. So it's not a new stadium. It's just a renovated one, right? I mean, it looks brand new. It is. It's still Anderson Field, and we love that place, man.
And I know when I'm Carruthers, when I'm headed from Fresno, I turn right at the gas station / convenience store with the airplane, right? With the airplane that looks like it's crashed into it. That's one of the landmarks.
They got lights on it now too, Paul.
And there's a taco truck. There was a taco truck when I drove by there last time, so I had to get myself some tacos too. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it's really interesting because, you know, they built that new fancy Valero right there on the
corner. I didn't like it. It didn't feel like Carruthers to me.
so we've got good old-fashioned gas price wars going on, man. So back and forth, it's pretty cool. And then, you know, of course, the gas station with the crashed airplane did some remodeling, you know. And, they've got like two or three taco trucks or something going on there. It's pretty cool, man.
Yeah, it is cool. So a couple more things before we have to let you go. But I know Carruthers is big on sharing athletes. I think it was your softball team who won a championship last year. It was the basketball players or football players, but I know you are basketball, volleyball players, but you guys do a really good job of sharing athletes there at Carruthers. What's the communication like between coaches, man? Because you guys all have to be on the same page. I know you're also the athletic director. So talk about your staff there and your ability to share players and how that's no problem at all.
Yeah, you know, that you just said it. I mean, it's just known that, you know, we're not going to tell our athletes that you're a one-sport athlete. It's not going to happen. And, you know, to be quite honest, I don't even have to say
Can't
that.
Do it, just, yeah.
You know, they just do it. I mean, you know, we've got people playing soccer and basketball at the same time, right? I mean, how do you, they make it work? It's amazing. You know, they you know, it's the same sport. You know, this going on at the same time, right? The same season, and not just, you know, different seasons, but during the same season they're sharing athletes. So, you know, it, like I said before, it's all about the kids. If that's what the kid wants to do, we're going to support it, man. You know, and try to make it the best possible experience that they can have again during their 4 years at Carruthers High School.
Is Carruthers still the type of town that on Friday night lights, and I'm sure you're going to expect that with the home game against Kalinga coming up, but the town shuts down, you drive through town and the lights are off and everyone comes to the football games?
Yeah, I mean, the gas stations are still going to be doing their job, right? But
the pizza places, yeah, too, right?
our community is fantastic, man. They're phenomenal. They show up to support our kids. They love Blue Raider football as much as we do, man. So, and our kids really appreciate their support.
Well, Coach Wood, it was great to talk to you. Really appreciate you taking the time. I know this is a busy time of the year, but your Blue Raiders, number 3 seed, taking on Kalinga Friday in Division 4 with a chance to play in the Central Section Championship game. Thanks again, and good luck the rest of the way. Really appreciate it. It was fun talking to you.
Hey, thank you, Paul. Appreciate it, man.
You bet. All right. That's it. That is the show. Coming up, wrap everything up in a couple minutes. This has been a great conversation with Coach Brandon Ward. Blue Raiders, man. Carruthers, it is a special place. I've driven through there. I've competed against that school both as a player and a coach. And, yeah, they got a lot of good things going on over there. So we'll take a break and wrap everything up on 1430 ESPN.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Thank you guys for listening. Just had a great 2 hours, just pure high school football talk. We're passionate about this stuff at 1430 ESPN. We love it. Absolutely love it. Broadcast a game every week. Jose Gonzalez and I have a lot of fun. Coach Pat Hill does a great job, obviously. Joined the broadcast for, I think, 10 games this season. Tons of fun. Thank you to First String Sports being my day one sponsor. Come on down here, check them out. A lot of people are in the store right now. It's a beautiful day out there. Might as well do some shopping. Come to First String Sports. Thank you to Jorge Hernandez, San Joaquin Memorial football coach Anthony Ghostin, our 1430 ESPN student athlete of the week, Jaden Enriquez. Thanks to Gabe Camarillo, who's at home base, producing the show, doing a great job jumping on and talking about these great matchups coming up this week. Thank you to Carruthers coach Brandon Ward. You know, there's a lot of special stuff to go on in the Central Section. Carruthers is one of those places. We love our one school towns, and there's just something special about those places. So make sure you listen to Gabe Cameron. We'll be talking about this all week. The incredible matchups are going to be happening. The semifinals are here. Day after Thanksgiving is going to be Championship Friday. Thank you guys for listening. We will talk to you soon.
You're listening to the home of the Los Angeles Lakers, KFIG Fresno, 1430 ESPN.